Não. Last week, what we discussed was the nature of the mitzvah of Kibud Avaim. So we discussed where does it come up in the text, where are we commanded in Kibud Avaim, and what that teaches us about what we are going to eventually learn, which are the smaller details of the mitzvah. Because if you don't understand the basics, where the mitzvah started from, if you don't understand the basis and where it all started from, then you cannot even begin to explore the details and the halachot of what is going on within the mitzvah. But today we are going to discuss something that is perhaps unique only to Kibud Avaim, but if not, it is very, very rare. And that is that we are going to talk about how you can carry out this mitzvah in many different forms. Think of a mitzvah, bring into your head any mitzvah. For me, I'm thinking of lighting Shabbos candles. So if you are talking about what is the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles, you are talking about an action that you have to physically light a match and light a candle. If I asked you, can you carry out lighting Shabbos candles through speech? You would say no, because it's a physical mitzvah. You have to physically light a match and light a candle. If I would say to you, how do you fulfill lighting Shabbos candles through thought? You would say, Emma, I still can't do that because at the end of the day, I need to have candles lit. And no matter how much I think about lighting candles, I can't light a candle. However, Kibud Avaim is different. And we are going to see that Kibud Avaim is a mitzvah that you can fulfill not only through actions, not only through speech, but also through thought. And there are different ways that we accomplish this goal through the goal of Kibud Avaim, through speech, through thought, and through actions. So let's start with what perhaps might be the most obvious to us, which is the way that we can fulfill Kibud Avaim through our actions. Why do I say that that may be the most natural to us, the easiest for us to understand? Because most mitzvot we do fulfill through actions, that we do something, that we make a bracha and we carry out an action. So this idea of fulfilling Kibud Avaim through actions makes a lot of sense to us. So let's begin in source number 9. Again, it is continuing from the previous unit. That's why it starts with 9 and not with 1. So we are on source number 9, Masechet Kiddushin Lamed Aleph Daf Amud Bet. Tanu Rabbanan, Ve'ezehu Kibud. What is Kibud? How do you fulfill Kibud? Kibud ma'achil u'mashke is that you feed and you give to drink. Malbish umechaseh, that you dress them and you cover them, umachnis umotzi, and you help them to come and to go. So the Gemara in Kiddushin gives us very practical examples of what does it mean to respect your parents. It means to help them with their basic physical needs. So you are going to give them to eat, you are going to give them to drink, you are going to help them to go where they need to go, you are going to clothe them, you are going to physically respect them, that you are going to make sure that they are taken care of in all of their physical needs. The Shulchan Aruch codifies this lahalacha, brings it down practically for us, that this is how we fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Avaim. Then in Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya, it says in source number 10, Ezehu Kibud, what is considered to be Kibud? Ma'achilo u'mashkehu, that you should feed him and you should give him to drink. Malbish u'mechaseh, that you should clothe them and you should cover them. Machnis u'motzi, you should help them to come and to go. V'yitznenu lo b'sever panim yafu. The Shulchan Aruch, though, adds in, V'yitnenu lo b'sever panim yafos, you should do all of this b'sever panim yafos, with a pleasant face, with a positive attitude. She'afilu ma'achilo b'chol yom p'tumo, that even if you were feeding your parents fattened birds, so you were feeding them fine delicacies every single day, v'her'alo panim zo'afot, but if you are doing so with a long face, with a face that is sad, and nashalav, you are going to be punished for this. Not only are you not fulfilling the mitzvah of Kibud Avaim, this is something that you would be punished for. So the Shulchan Aruch, although that it is technically just bringing down the Gemara lahalacha, it is also adding in a very important point, which is going to come up later on, that this is our first insight, that this is a multifaceted mitzvah. That yes, you are fulfilling technical actions. You are giving them to eat. You are giving them to drink. You are clothing them. But what is also important, as opposed to just the idea of if I light Shabbos candles, but I'm sad while I'm doing it, I have fulfilled the lighting of Shabbos candles nonetheless. The Shulchan Aruch is telling us, lehalacha, that if you fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Avaim, but you do it with a panim zo'afot, with a long face, that you are not doing it b'sever panim yafos, you are not doing it with a positive attitude, then you have not fulfilled the mitzvah to the extent that we are meant to fulfill it. The Ramah comments here in his commentary below where you see the Haggah, v'chin lehefach, and he also says the opposite. Im matchin aviv b'richayim v'kavanato l'tova. Let's say you are in a difficult situation and there are many different jobs that need to be done. So you have your father work on the grinding stone, which is considered to be a very difficult job. However, you do this with the best possible intentions because your goal is to save your father from doing a perhaps more difficult job. Umedaber piusim aliv aviv, and you speak to your father pleasantly about it, vimar elo shekavanato l'tova, and you show him that you have the proper intentions, ad sheyitratze aviv l'tchom merichayim, until your father is so excited to work on the grinding stone, nochel olam haba. Someone who does this, so someone even who makes his father work a difficult job, but does so in a pleasant way with the proper kavana, this is a person who earns olam haba. So as we saw on one side, that you can fulfill kibud avim in the technical way, that you could feed your parents and you can give your parents to drink and you can help them go the way they need to go. But if you are doing it with negative intentions, then you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. Whereas even if you are making your father work back-breaking work, but you are doing it with a positive attitude, then you have fulfilled the mitzvah to its greatest extent. So although the Shulchan Aruch mentions a number of specific examples, the Ramah continues with another point. The Ramah is going to expound on the attitude behind the actions you are doing. And this is going to connect us later on to the idea of fulfilling this mitzvah through intention, through thought. So the Ramah tells us in source number 11, V'yishamshenu b'sha'ar dvarim shahashamash mishamesh rabo. How should one approach kibud avim? One should approach their parent, V'yishamshenu, you should serve them, b'sha'ar dvarim, in anything that they need, shahashamash mishamesh rabo. Like you are a servant who is serving his master. That you are an assistant who is serving the Rav. You should view that you are your parent's servant. That yes, the Shulchan Aruch lists exact specific examples of what you need to do for your parents. But the Ramah comments here and says, you must recognize that this is much broader. That the Shulchan Aruch gave us a few examples, but your role is to serve as the shamish to your parents. That you should be there for anything they need. The Yalkus Yosef tells us in source number 12, Chayav adam lechavir et aviv v'imo gam bedvarim she'ina mitzarchei haguf mamish. So the Yalkus Yosef tells us more examples of this. That the Yalkut Yosef tells us, even if there are things that are not direct needs to sustain your parents, it's not like if you don't feed them, they will not be able to survive. Or if you don't help them to get somewhere, they will not be able to get there. Rather, the Yalkut Yosef says that kibud avim applies to anything that your parents need. Even if it is not a direct tzarchei haguf, it is not a matter of keeping them alive. It is just a matter of providing for what they need. That too falls under kibud avim. V'kigon, la'aruch avuram kniyot, for example, to do their shopping for them, l'nakor et habayit u'levashel, to clean their house and to cook for them, v'lahavi lahem trufot be'et hatzorach, and to bring to them medicine at their time of need. So the Yalkut Yosef is saying we have to expand our mindset that if we are approaching the mitzvah of kibud avim already with the idea that it is a combination of different ways to fulfill this mitzvah, yes, there are the physical components that you have to do this and you have to do this and you have to make sure that they are physically taken care of. Once we expand our mindset that we are there to serve our parents, that then broadens the actions that we do and so much more falls under what we must do for our parents. The Gemara in Masechet Kedushin on Lamed Aleph Amud Bet gives us examples of rabbis and of the times of the Amoraim who fulfilled kibud avim to its greatest extent. Amar Rabbi Abahu, kegon avimi bari. Rabbi Abahu says, you know who fulfilled kibud avim? My son Avimi. And that's pretty impressive. If the parent is the one saying, you know who's an exemplar of kibud avim? My son, then you know they must have done a good job. Kaye mitzvah kibud. How did he fulfill the mitzvah of kibud? Chamisha b'nis michay have leila avimi b'chayei aviv. My son Avimi had 5 sons who were rabbis during the time that I was still alive. The kihave atar Rabbi Avahu karai ababa, rahit v'azil v'patachle. However, when I would come to visit him, he would run to greet me on his own. And even more, v'amar in. When he would approach the gate, in the moments before he was able to open the gate, he would say, Abba, Abba, I'm here. Because he wouldn't want his father to have that momentary panic, that moment of doubt that his son is going to come to greet him. So not only would this man who has many important sons, he is, that is the way of saying he's an important person. He could have sent someone else to do this, but rather Avimi, the son, he goes out to greet his father on his own, but he also makes sure that his father is going to be benachas, that he says to his father, Abba, Abba, I'm here. Don't worry. I'm here to get the gate for you. And Rabbi Tarfon had a certain manner of treating his mother as well. Whenever she wished to go up to her bed, he would lay down and she would rise up on him, like she would step on him to get into her bed. And whenever she wanted to come down from her bed, she would come down upon him. And they said to him, and when he would come to the Beis Medrash, they would say, you know what? Even he didn't fulfill this mitzvah up until its fullest. Amarle, adayin lo hagata l'chatzei kibud. Even with doing this, having your mother physically step on you to get in and out of her bed, you have not even come close to the kibud that she deserves. Klumzar ka'ar. Like, do you know what you would do in every single situation? It's saying you have to imagine how you could respect your parents in every possible crazy situation. The example that they bring up here is what would happen if you were walking with your mother and she cast her pocketbook into the sea? Would you not be embarrassed for her? How would you react? Would you have the ability to restrain yourself and not rebuke her for what she had just done? Rabbi Yosef ki hava shma kal kira'a da'ame. When Rabbi Yosef heard his mother's footsteps, he would say, Akum mikeme shchina de'ite. When he would hear his mother coming, he would say, I must rise to greet the shchina. So as we see, as the Gemara goes on and on, the Gemara is trying to one up one Amora after another and say, you think you fulfilled Kibbut Ava'im? Look what they did. And look what they did. And look what they did. What we can see from this Gemara is that there is the idea that Kibbut Ava'im is not just checking off the basic boxes of, yes, we fulfill it physically by giving our parents to eat, to drink, to provide them with whatever they need. But there is this broader mindset that is already coming into play, even within the actions, of what are we thinking about when we fulfill the action. So therefore, it expands the category within halacha of what we are doing to fulfill the mitzvah to everything that can possibly come to serve their parents. Source number 14, which is the final source on serving our parents through actions, is the source that we did in our introductory shiur about Dema ben Netina, that it brings the example of a non-Jewish person, Dema ben Netina, who was unwilling to wake his father up even to make large sums of money. So now if we skip down in the Meiri to the three dots at the bottom, Kishim Sha'adam Chayav. So if we were there at the bottom, Kishim Sha'adam Chayav L'chavir et aviv ve'et imo, Ritzono lomar, l'ha'achil, v'l'hashkot, v'l'halbish, v'l'hachasot, v'l'hachnis, v'l'hutzi. Just like a person is required to respect their parents in that they have to feed them and they have to give them to drink and they have to dress them and they have to cover them. Ka'chayav l'chavdim b'chol minei kibud. They must also respect them in any possible way that you can show kavod. V'zehu min hadvarim she'in lahem shi'or l'mala. This is one of the things that there is in Lahem Shior. There is no limit to the extent that we can take Kibbut Ava'im, which we see from Dema ben Netina. He was willing to lose tremendous amounts of money in order to fulfill Kibbut Ava'im. So the first way that we fulfill Kibbut Ava'im is through actions. And it is by any possible need that our parents has falls under the mitzvah of Kibbut. Lastly, Rav Aaron Katz in his Sefer Psakim Utshuvos in source number 14 adds in that in modern days, what additionally falls in to Kibbut Ava'im, the im haben gar b'makom rachok mehahorim, if a person lives far away from their parents, chayav lishol v'ledrosh b'telefon u'b'mechtavim b'shashalom horav mizman lizman. You are obligated to call your parents and check in how they are doing, check on how they're faring. What is the measurement? How often must you do this? And remember, this is not just something nice to do. These are official halachot. So it says, how often must you call in order to fulfill your obligation? It says, at minimum, the amount that is typical in the world to call someone you are close with. Kimokin mitzvah lavo levakeret aviv imo mizman lizman. Even if you live far away, it is a mitzvah upon you to come to visit your parents from time to time. V'chol ha-mosif ha-reze mishubach, and whoever adds in more, that is praiseworthy. V'al kol panim, lo yifachot mi-ha-shi'or she-derech b'nei adam lavo lahorim v'le-yedidim, v'kimuvan shehu taloi gam lefi richa kamako. So he says, just remember, you can always add more and more. You can always visit your parents more. You can always call your parents more. What you are not allowed to do is halachically, you are not allowed to visit less than average. That whatever, if it is typical for people who live, let's say you live in Israel and your parents live in America, if it is typical to visit once a year, then you must, according to your abilities, come to visit once a year. And if you are able to visit twice a year, then hareza mishubach, this is praiseworthy. I see we have a question in the chat. Is it a mitzvah to visit, or is it is an obligation, like inquiring after their welfare? I believe that it is an obligation to actually visit. And the minimum, if you live very far away, is although you are not able to be there on the day-to-day to fulfill all of the obligations that you would have if you were directly there with them, it is your obligation to check in to make sure that their needs are being fulfilled. So obviously, while the distance is greater, you are still going to have to come visit them to do your actual kibud, the amount that is typical. But intermittently, in between that, you are going to have to inquire after their welfare to make sure that they are being taken care of, even in your absence. Okay, so I see we have another question in the chat. How do we define typical? So I think that's where it becomes very subjective, because someone might say, oh, I call my mother 4 times a day. And some people might say, I call 1 time a week. And I think I'm very far from this stage, but I feel like when you hear mothers talk about their children who are in yeshiva or seminary, often the girls' moms will say, I hear from my daughter 4 times a day. Every time she goes to the makulat, I hear what she's there to buy. And I tell her that maybe she should go talk to somebody else. Whereas sometimes the boy moms are like, well, my son, I hope he even arrived. He never even called to tell me. He only calls if the credit card's not working. That means he's hungry. I never hear from him. So I think this is all very subjective. But I would say that you can try in any of these things where it's going to be like minhag hamakom. You are going to have to try to understand what seems average in terms of your, I guess, understanding of what's going on around you. So to say you would call your parents once a month when we're all on our phones and texting all day seems a bit unreasonable. But to say that one would be required to call, text, and email your parents every single day would also seem a little excessive. So I think it's sort of with the understanding that we have such an easy mode of communication that making a phone call is not tedious. So to sort of weigh into the balance how often you think you would reach out to somebody else that you are close with and take that as your baseline level. Next question, what if they cannot afford to travel financially if they live in another country, et cetera? I think that comes into the discussion of how much is feasible. And I think today that would also weigh into like how far you live, that it's not just a matter of living far away, but it's also the expense of traveling from a very far distance. So I think we will get into this later on in the halachot, specifically like decisions that may be made in light of kibud av va'im. So I think one may say that one has to weigh that into the decision in moving far away from your parents, is making sure that there is still a way to fulfill kibud av va'im, and how your parents are taken care of and how you assure for that, even though you can't be there physically. But I think that then also has to weigh into typical, that if you live in Israel and flights are $1,500, how often does one, taking into account that expense, is it typical to be able to visit? So I think it's all very subjective, but you're going to have to say if they're going to move somewhere where they know they are never going to be able to come visit, I think one may say that one has to discuss how and in what way they can fulfill kibud av va'im. Because I think we have to remember, and we're going to see how you also fulfill kibud av va'im through speech and through thought. There is the physical component though, that you can't say, oh, I am only going to fulfill kibud av va'im through my speech. These all come as parts of fulfilling the mitzvah in its entirety. But I think that there are going to be different times when you are going to rely on one mechanism over another mechanism. So obviously, if you live 6,000 miles away, then more often than not, you are going to fulfill Kibbutz Ava'im through your speech. But that doesn't mean that your obligation to care for your parents physically has gone away. Okay, and one more question, and then we will continue. Is this also based on your specific parents' expectations? I think that that would be weighed into the calculation in terms of how much your parents feel either that they need care, or we're going to see when we, let's actually hold off on this question until we get to through speech, because a lot of it is about how your parents are going to feel respected and how they are going to feel cared for. So if your parents would love for you to call every day, then that might weigh into the calculation. Whereas if your parents are like, great, whenever I speak to you is fantastic, then there wouldn't necessarily be as strong of a need to call them, let's say, on the daily basis. But let's go into speech, because I think that's going to be clarified a little bit through here. So honoring one's parents through speech. We are on page 32. And the Michilta de Rabbi Ishmael presents us with an interesting arrangement of understanding the mitzvah of Kibbutz Ava'im. Kavidas avicha v'esimecha, shomea ani b'dvarim. So we have the commandment of kavidas avicha v'esimecha. So the Michilta says, we might think that we're only able to fulfill it through speech. Talmud lomar, so the Gemara tells us, so the Pasuk tells us, kavidas et Hashem me'un mehonecha. The Pasuk tells us that you must respect Hashem with your money. That you must respect them with food and with drink and with clean clothing. So what's interesting here is the Michilta is understanding differently than we did. We said the most natural approach is to understand that how do you fulfill any mitzvah is through your actions. But the Michilta is saying, based on the pasuk kavidas avicha v'yasimecha, you may have thought that it's only through your speech. How do we know that it includes actions as well? Because it, in another pasuk, it says kavidas Hashem mehonecha, with your money. We see that kibud can be fulfilled through something physical, such as money. And therefore, we are able to apply that back here and say kibud, respecting your parents, can also be fulfilled through money and through using physical things. So based on this idea that the Michilta assumes that of course we can fulfill Kibbutz Ava'im through speech, it leads us to a number of different sources that help us understand what exactly does that mean. I see we have one hand raised. Is that a question also?
Yeah, I do. Now I think I forgot. I'm sorry.
It's okay. If you remember, just
write it. I have to remember it. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem at all. Just write it in the chat. We'll get back to it at the end of this section. Okay, so the Sefer Charidim tells us, Dibur Chamishi de Aseret HaDibrot. So it says the fifth commandment of the Aseret HaDibrot, Kavidas Avicha V'Yasimecha. Chayav L'Chavdim V'Dibur. You are obligated to respect them with, through your speech. She'edaber Aleihem B'Nachas. That you should speak to them nicely. B'Lashon Raka V'Chavod V'Adanut K'Medaber L'Melech. You should speak to your parents like you are speaking to the king. Zehu pshuto shel mikra. This is the basic understanding of the pasuk. The amru b'parak kama de kedushin. We learn in the first parak of kedushin. Dehamidaber kashot la'aviv elimo. That someone who speaks harshly to his mother and father. Afal pisha ma'achilim tarnigulot b'ftumot yoresh gehenam. That someone who feeds his parents delicacies, and we saw this in Kedushin, that someone who feeds their parents delicacies, however, they do so with a long face, they do not speak nicely, yoresh gehenom, they earned themselves a spot in gehenom. Not only did they not fulfill the mitzvah of Kibbutz Ava'im, but they have inherited a place in gehenom. Definitely not high praise for someone who does that. The Yalkut Yosef adds in, so until now, we say, how do you fulfill the speech aspect of Kibbutz Ava'im? By speaking to your parents in a respectful manner, by speaking benachas. But now the Yalkut Yosef is talking more about the content. What are you actually saying to your parents, not how are you saying it? So if you see that your parents are bitsa'ar v'da'aga, that they are in a certain amount of trouble or worry, yidaber alibam divrei ritzoi b'fios, you should speak to them in a way that calms them down. Lahargi'im v'lesamchim k'di liyashev da'atam. You should speak to them in a way that makes them happy, that calms them down, that helps them to be benachas, that helps them to have yishav hada'as. They should feel at ease. V'yishol l'ben l'hizaher, a child must be aware and must be careful. Shalol l'saper l'horav dvarim shi'etza'aru otam. You should never tell your parents things that are going to worry them. Unless there is a reason that they need to know what you are telling them, you should not tell them things that are going to make them excessively worried. Now, one may ask, so then what happens about lying to your parents? Like, what if your parents say, oh, where are you going for Shabbos? And you don't want to tell them that you're going to some small yeshuv in the Shomron for Shabbos. That may worry them. What are you allowed to say? I'm in Yerushalayim. So instead, so that is going to have to be a topic that we are going to have to explore. Does anyone have any suggestions? Does anyone think in that situation where we've said it's a mitzvah to not worry your parents, to speak to them in a way that will keep them calm, keep them at ease, how do you think that that interfaces with honesty and telling your parents the truth? Does anyone have any suggestions? No. Okay. I think that's something that we are going to...
Can you repeat the question?
Question is that we just learned this rule that you have to speak to your parents in a way that's going to calm their nerves, that's going to keep them at ease. We should always make sure that they are not overly worried, that there are not things that are bothering them. We should speak to them in a way that calms them. But on the other hand, that may mean that sometimes you have to not tell the truth, right? Because sometimes what's actually going on may be worrisome to your parents. So my question is, how do you think this idea of respecting your parents and speaking to them in a way that calms them interfaces with honesty? I see we have two hands raised. So DK.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
We do have a precedent in halacha and in Jewish practice for telling white lies or for not, sharing complete information.
Right.
So there is that precedence, you know.
Right.
So there is the idea that over
straight out lie.
Raw honesty. Right.
Right. Right. I see we have similar ideas in the chat that say I'm traveling, but I'll tell you specifics later on, like after it's passed. You can leave out specific details.
What if you have,
did you have an idea also?
What if you have a parent who's I don't know the word, but very intuitive. And if you don't tell them all the details, they kind of know you're not telling the details.
Right. So that's why I think it says you need to be in tune to your parents and see what is going to keep them calm. So it says you need to make sure not to worry them. So I think if you have a parent who is very worried and they can tell if you're being evasive, that will definitely not calm them down. It will have the opposite effect. Then you have to take that into account. So in that case, you may have to tell them all the specific details, because knowing where you are will make them more calm than not knowing where you are.
Is there an actual iser to lie to a parent?
Is there an iser to lie to a parent?
Yeah, because I just didn't think that was, meaning if it's not something that's going to affect them negatively, then what would be the
issue? Right, so it's not one of our five isurim. Of like we had kibud, we had yira, we had cursing your parents, hitting your parents, and disgracing your parents. Right. So it's not one of our explicit isurim, but we do have this general value of honesty. So I think it's always important to think how the values interface with the halachos that we learn.
Right. So I mean, I'm assuming it's also different if it's a child living in the parent's house and the parent, is responsible for the child's well-being.
Right. Definitely. Okay. And we just have... We have one more comment in the chat. What if there is something personal and hard going on in your life that can worry them, but you share everything with them and they help as well? They expect this kind of relationship with you. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I think each of these things is very much on a case-by-case basis, which sometimes is a unique idea for us within halacha, because often we say the halacha is the halacha. Like if you use the, but even not often, like within kashrus, if something's kosher, something's not kosher. Usually we say there is a klal that meat cooked in milk is never going to be kosher. There is nothing that you can do that will make meat cooked in milk kosher. But there is the idea that if there is a chumra or there is a kula and someone has more money or someone has less money, and when we apply these different things, there is this subjective area of halacha. And I think when we're talking more about mitzvos that seem to be bein adam lechaviro, and again, we talked about how we would define this, but the idea of this mitzvah having that being adam lechaviro component, leaves within it a much larger gray area of the area that's subjective. That when we're talking about two human beings interacting with each other, there's always going to be more subjectivity. So if you're going to say, but what if my parents are like this? Or what if I have this kind of relationship? And all of these things are going to factor into our decisions within these halachot. But the halachot and the klalim, the overall rules, still apply. And those must be what we use to weigh what we eventually end up doing. So you might say, I have parents that will be worried if I don't call. So then you have to have in your mind that you then have an expectation to call them. So there is this certain idea that the nature of the people involved does affect how the halacha applies practically. The Chai Adam extends this in a way that's interesting. Until right now, we've talked about how we talk to our parents, right? How we treat our parents, how we talk to our parents. The Chai Adam now expands it to how we speak about our parents. And the Chai Adam says, if you look in source 19, if you look down below, there's a nice little blurb about who the Chai Adam was. You can read that in your free time. But the Chai Adam, the Dibor Kitzad, what does this mean that we can fulfill the mitzvah of Kibra Ba'im through Dibor? Hayatzarich shum davar ba'ir. V'yodeya sheyishalmu chatzo b'shvil aviv. Af al pi sheyodeya shegam ken ya'asu b'shvilo, lo yomar asu li davar ploni b'shvili, elo yomar asu b'shvil aba. So let's say you want to go into a pizza store in town, and you want to order something. So you want to walk in and just say, can I have this? But you know that the guy behind the counter really loves your father. So if you walk into the pizza store and you say, can I order a pie of pizza for my father, so-and-so, the guy behind the counter will say, whoa, that's your father. What a tzaddik. How amazing he is. Of course I'll get you that slice of pizza. Now you might say, either way, you ended up with a slice of pizza. One can only hope that in the second situation, you didn't have to pay for the slice of pizza, but you can never assume. But you can say that either way, the same mission was accomplished. The Chai Adam says there's value in speaking about your parents in situations that you know will bring them honor. So even in something small like that, he says, asking someone in the town for them to perform something for you, for them to do something for you, if they would be willing to do it for your father and that would add to his honor, you should have them do it for your father instead of doing it for you. So I think what the Chai Adam is pointing out to us is a very keen awareness and a very, very keen sensitivity to how we can speak not only to our parents, but about our parents to increase their level of kavod, even if it's not coming directly from us, but from their surroundings as well. V'im misupak b'davar, harashut b'yadol la'asot kemo sheyirtzeh. If you're not sure, if you're like, oh, I know that my father interacted with this person at one point, but I don't remember quite what their interaction was. V'im yodea sheyish la'aviv sonim ba'ir. And especially if you know that your father has those who hate him in the town, lo yivakesh b'shvil aviv, you should not bring up your father. She'in de'el gnai l'aviv, because this will only cause bad to your father. Kivan she'lo yasu b'shvilo, because they won't want to do it for him. So Chai Adam is saying you have to have this broader awareness of how your speech and the way that you interact people with people, and perhaps whether you bring in your parents or you don't bring in your parents through your speech, will affect their level and their standing within the community. So we've had so far that you can fulfill this mitzvah through physical actions. You can provide for everything that your parents need. We also have through speech that you can speak to your parents pleasantly. You can speak about your parents in a way that will increase their level of kavod. But the last way that we have, that we've seen creep into the sources already, but I think when we examine it in and of itself, instinctively causes the most trouble for us. When we say that you can fulfill Kibbut Ava'im through your thoughts, at least the question that comes to my mind is, how can it be that we are commanded to fulfill something in our mind, that we are commanded to think a certain way about something? And this question is asked in other places throughout Torah, via haftas Hashem Elokecha, lo tisnas achicha b'lavavecha. How can you not? How can we be commanded to not hate someone? How can we be commanded to love? All of these questions come up. And the idea is that usually it's not just something that simply remains in our thoughts, but it's our thoughts that lead to speech or thoughts that lead to action. And I believe that's how we understand it here as well. But it is saying the way that we have a certain mentality towards kibbut avaim is going to affect our speech and is going to affect our actions. So if we look again in source 20 in the Sefer Charidim again, kavod avicha v'yasimecha, matzinu kibbut balev, we have found that you are able to respect in your heart, dichtiv Hashem miyagor b'ohalecha, v'chulei nivze b'inayim nimas. So in the pasuk in Tehillim, in the beginning of the pasuk, it says, Hashem mi yagor ba'o halacha, Hashem who should dwell in your tent. And then it continues on and says, nivze b'inav nim'as, that those who are looked down upon in your eyes should be disgraced. Hayinu einei hasichel, sheyachshov adam b'lipo, ki hu nivze u'ma'us v'nekaleh. If a person thinks of himself and thinks that they are lowly, thinks that they are disgraced, they are downtrodden, but we have this idea that those who fear Hashem should be respected. If we say that kibba, the way that you fulfill respecting those that fear Hashem, is through your actions and through your speech, the lo baliv and not in the heart, hari mishave utam lo. Then you can say, we have this idea for kibud avaim, that you can look down on your parents as well, that you can respect them through your actions, you can respect them through your speech, but you would not be obligated to respect them in your thoughts. Shehim nivazim u'me'osim be'inav kamohu, because you would say you put yourself in the same category as your parents, and if you don't have to think highly of yourself, then according to this understanding of this pasuk in Tehillim, you would not have to show respect to your parents either. Rak mechabed otam b'peh mipnei shehashem yisparach tiva. Rather, you would just respect them through your speech and through your action because that's what Hashem commanded you. We would be lacking the actual mindset that our parents are worthy of our respect. Ella, al-karchacha hachi ka'amar, that yirei Hashem yichabid ba'anav sheyidameh bilibo shehim gedolim v'nich b'dei eretz. Rather, you should think about your parents that they are gedolim, that they are great ones, that they are the respected ones of the land. Shezehu ikar chibudam, because this is the essence of respecting them. V'mitoch kach v'day yichabdim b'dibor b'ma'aseh. And if you respect them truly in your mindset, then you are going to come to respect them on a higher level through your speech and through your actions. Think about someone that you are commanded to respect. Let's say it was a school principal, a teacher, someone that you had to show respect to, but you didn't actually think highly of them. You go through the actions, but when it comes down to those slight sensitivities, as we were talking about previously in the Alkat Yosef and the Chai Adam, you are not going to have the same sensitivity to make sure to show the same level of kavod as you would if you truly respected them in your mindset. So when we say that you fulfill kibud avaim through your mindset, it is establishing within your mind a true appreciation and a value for who your parents are. And the outcome then is you are able to fulfill them truly through your speech and through your actions. However, we are saying that establishing this mindset in and of itself is a mechanism of carrying out kibud avaim. That it's not just that it is a hechsher mitzvah, that it allows us to fulfill kibud avaim, but developing this mindset of respect towards our parents is one that is a method of fulfilling kibud avaim in and of itself. The Sefer Charidim continues, Ve'al mevaze aviv o imo b'libo, you should not put down your parents in your heart, o b'dvarim o b'ma'aseh, through your words or through your actions, shetos soter divrehem, o yashuv b'mekomam hamiuchad lahem v'chayotze bazeh. You shouldn't contradict their words, and we are going to get to all these details, that you shouldn't sit in their place. Shene amar arur mekala aviv imo v'pirusho she'im lashon klala, ela lashon bizayon. So it's giving us a number of examples until the end of this piece in the Sefer Charidim of how if you do not think highly of your parents, you are going to come to desecrate and to violate the other Isurim that we have against our parents. That you are going to come to curse your parents, you are going to come to put them down in your mind because you do not have a true appreciation of them. The Chai Adam then continues in source number 21. B'mach shava kidichtiv, he is commenting on the idea that the Sefer Charidim just brought up. He is commenting specifically on there that you have to have respect for your parents in your mindset. Nivze be'inav nim'as ve'yirat Hashem yechabir. V'hainu yechabir b'mach shava, you must respect them in your mindset. De'in lomar You can't look down on them in your mind and in your eyes. And then say that you're going to truly be able to respect them through your speech. You must truly work on yourself that you respect them in your heart. That they are important in your heart. You must think of them as being the highest in the land, the most respected people around. Even if your parents honestly are really not such important people, they're not unique, they're not special, there's nothing particularly interesting about them. But you have to look at them in your mind as being nechbedei eretz. Rav Nissim Karelitz, though, in the final source that we have here, in source number 22, brings up the question that I'm sure is in everybody's mind of, but what if you're, and I don't know, maybe everybody has the most incredible, most well-respected parents, but you might say, what if my parents are just average people? Or chas v'shalom, what if your parents really are people that are harmful, that are people that make it difficult for you to respect them? So Rav Nissim Karelitz in Chut Shani, source number 22. And with this, we are going to end for tonight. This, I can just say, this source is one that can open up a Pandora's box. And that is going to be a separate unit in and of itself, how to deal with parents who do not act in a respectful manner towards you. So we are not going to open that Pandora's box right now, but we are just going to discuss this source in our context as to how this affects our mindset towards Kibbud Av Va'im. So source number 22. You should think of your parents as the most well-respected people in the land. You have to relate to your parents with a manner of respect. Because no matter what your parents are like, they are the gedolim and you are ketanim. Opposite them, you are small in comparison to them. Kivan shehim hevi uhu laulam, because they brought you into the world. V'tarchu bo tarchot merubot, and they have worked so hard on your behalf. V'harizem chayiv sheyachas aleihem yiyeh bereges shel kavod, and therefore, for this alone, not for anything about their personality, what they're truly like, but simply because they brought you into the world, they deserve your utmost respect. That you should always feel like you are lowly before them because of how much they have done for you. You might have thought originally that you have to find specific character traits within them to respect, and therefore you can respect them. However, when it comes to your parents, we are not looking to find specific character traits that, oh, that's why I have to respect my parents. Or because they did something specific. This is our avoda, that one has to minimize themselves in front of their parents. So even if they are people of very little understanding, they have very little knowledge, they don't understand him, they're not able to relate to him. You are still obligated to respect them because they are your parents. And again, this is the Pandora's box. Even if their parents cause them discomfort, cause them pain, you still have to be quiet in front of them. Because what is the reason that even if your parents are detrimental to you, why do you still have to respect them? Because think about a person who saved you from a life-threatening situation or who saved you when you were in dire monetary straits. No matter what this person was like, if someone saved you from a life-threatening situation, you would respect them accordingly. It doesn't really matter if he is greater than you in wisdom or in thought. Because for the chesed, simply for the chesed that he did for you, you are nothing in comparison to him. וזהו שכתב החיי אדם שזה עיקר הכיבוד, מפני שהוא השורש לציווי התורה בכיבוד ובמורה אבי ואמא. That the point that Rav Nissim Karelitz keeps coming back to is that when it comes to respecting our parents, developing this mindset of kavod, which we say is one method of fulfilling kibud avim, but also the precursor to the other two methods, is that we are not looking for specific traits in our parents that we can pick up on and say, oh, because of that, they're respectable. Because of that, I should appreciate them and respect them. Rather, by nature of the fact that they are your parents, you must appreciate the tremendous chesed that they did for you by bringing you into this world. And that alone, they are worthy of being thought of in your eyes as tremendously respected, that they are should be seen as gedolim in your eyes because they are so much greater than you because of the chesed that they did for you. So again, to wrap it up, we can say that we can fulfill, unlike many other mitzvos, that we fulfill either through our actions or through our speech or through our thoughts. Kibud av va'im is all three. We fulfill through actions by fulfilling our parents' basic physical needs, food, water, clothing, helping them get places, but also with the mindset that we are serving our master. We should aim to fulfill any physical needs that they may need, anything that they require, we should be there to fulfill for them. We can fulfill through our speech as well, in how we speak to them respectfully in a way that keeps them at ease, but also in the way we speak about them, that we are marbe their kavod, that with everyone we speak to about our parents, we are aiming to increase the kavod shown to our parents. And lastly, but perhaps most importantly, we fulfill kibud av va'im through our mindset. That through our thoughts, that if we develop a mindset of kavod towards our parents, we are then able to truly respect them in a way that will carry forth through our speech and through our actions.